I want to talk to you today about God's plan A. Now, maybe the way to begin this thing is to just simply say that, you know, Jesus, when we think about Jesus, you know, he's our Redeemer. Now, we would all agree with that. You know, without his shed blood, there is no redemption of our sins. So, Jesus is our Redeemer. The Holy Spirit is our enabler, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, he has other functions as well, but it's the Holy Spirit of God living in us that enables us to do things that we could not do in our own strength and might and mind. Now, God the Father, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, of course, many attributes, but one of those would be he is our helper. God helps us. There's so many verses in the Bible about that. I love that psalm. I think it's Psalm 121 that says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I've read that verse so many times to people that going through various things. And then, you know, the verse also in Psalms, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. That's a great... So God is our helper. God helps us. The Son, our Redeemer. The Holy Spirit, our enabler. But God the Father, you know, we are his children. He's our Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father helps us as we journey through life. Now, one of the ways God helps us, we don't really like. It's not joyful. I'll show you the verse in a moment. But it's his chastening. His chastening. That's one of the ways God helps us. Now, with your Bible in Hebrews chapter 12 is where you are, hopefully. Page 1070, if you look with me in verse number 1. Now remember, Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to share a very deep insight that you want to remember. It follows Hebrews chapter 11. Yeah, that's really brilliant on my part. But Hebrews chapter 11 is that great honor roll of faith where all these people are listed as examples of being people of faith. And so when you come to chapter 12, it begins with the word therefore, referring back to all these people in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, therefore, we also. Now, the writer to Hebrews is writing to Jewish people, to Hebrew people who have left their Hebrew faith and have place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but many of them were thinking about going back to their old Levitical system. And so he's writing, he's been talking about all these people who had lived by faith. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. That's an interesting statement. My opinion of that is not that all these saints of God are up in heaven looking down, cheering us on. That's not our motivation. I just think that would be absolutely the most non-biblical thing you could say about the A part of that verse, that up in heaven we've got all these people like a cheerleading team. No, in heaven they're worshiping God. Our motivation is the example that all these people in Hebrews chapter 11 leave, and that example becomes our motivation. In other words, Hebrews chapter 11, a list of people that would say to us, it can be done. Having faith in God will work no matter what. So he says, therefore, since we are also surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all these examples, let us lay aside every weight. Now to these people receiving this, the weight was the old Levitical priesthood system that they had left, had many of them were thinking about going back to that, and that was their weight. It says, lay that aside, and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Race is a metaphor for life. Life is a race. I think we'd all agree with that living where we live, would we not? Life is a race, and if you don't watch out, the race will run over you. Well, we're to live, though, with this endurance. Let us run this race that's set before us. And then he tells how, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, etc., God, da. But if you look with me in verse 5 and following, it's one of the most encouraging little portions of Scripture in all the New Testament. And here's what it says in verse 5, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons." And then what we have here is a reference back to Scripture in Proverbs chapter 3 in verses 11 and 12. It says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." Now here it is. You say, how can that be encouraging? Well, it is. "Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." Verse 7. "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons." That'd be a good sermon. And then it goes on to say other things, but we'll stop for time's sake at that very point. Now, this whole idea of the chastening of God, you know, the idea of the word chastening, I mean, it comes from a Greek word, but of course, you have the New King James before you now, as I'm reading from that. But if you looked in the NIV and you look in other translations, it may use the word chastening, or it may use the word disciplining. That's the idea. The chastening of God, what is that talking about? It's talking about the discipline of God. It's talking about the instruction of God. You could any of those words would fit perfectly here. Do not despise the discipline of the Lord. Do not be discouraged when you are rebuked, even though it's not a joyful thing. In fact, if you look down in verse 11, it says, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present." No, it never does. "But painful, nevertheless. Afterward, it gives the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." So, you know, the way I like to think of the chastening of the Lord, it's like enforced learning. That's the idea. Disciplining. Sometimes, there are three ways that God chastens his children. One's internal chastening, a second is external chastening, and third is terminal chastening. Now, I'm not going to deal with terminal chastening today. That's death. Sometimes. And you say, where's an example of that in the Bible? Well, in my opinion, Acts chapter 5. Remember the story about Ananias and Sapphira? When they lied and didn't give to God what was theirs. You remember that story? That'd be a good story some Sunday right before the offering. That'd wake the house up, would it not? Man, they came, carried him out. A little later they came. She lied. They carried her out. Now, that's called terminal chastening. That's a serious matter. That would be a subject that deserves its own time. But let's talk about internal chastening, internal disciplining, internal enforced learning. See, one of the ways that God the Father helps us is by his chastening. And this is what this is all talking about. Do not despise the Lord's chastening. Now, let's talk about this internal chastening, because internal chastening is God's plan A. Like, God has a plan A. Now, he has a plan B if plan A doesn't work. We'll be to that quickly in a moment. But plan A, you know, it's how God teaches us. It's how God disciplines us. And the primary way God does that in his plan A is right here through his word. God's word, if you take God's word seriously, it will discipline you. It will instruct you. God's word is like enforced learning. Here's what God says do. Now, what happens with God's plan A? It's very sad. We read God's word and we see what God's word says, but many times what we read doesn't faze us at all. I mean, in God's word, we read about forgiveness. We read about anger. We read about loving your enemies. We need about We read about pride and gossip and judgmental attitudes, but yet, you know, we read this or we sit and somebody else reads it to us, maybe in church, and we know it's what the Bible says, but it really doesn't do anything. We just keep on doing this stuff. We just keep on doing this stuff. Well, God's plan A, because God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so God's plan A is so wonderful. He gives us his word. He gives us instructions. This is where we get our spiritual discipline. This is where we get our spiritual direction. This is where we get our spiritual help if we take it very, very seriously. But yet, when it doesn't work, God has plan B. And you say, well, what is plan B? Well, that's external chastening. You know, internal chastening is by and large God's word. Now, external chastening is what God does, God's plan B, when plan A is not working. What God does then, he resorts, or he uses, maybe is a better way to say it, he uses people or situations or problems or a long list of things to get our attention. See, God wants us to live a good life, and he gives us his word to help us do that. That's where we get our instruction. But when we're not paying attention to God's instruction in his word, God has other ways to get our attention. Haven't you had things happen in your life where you think, you know, I believe God's giving me a wake-up call? Have you not said that sometime yourself? You know, there may be something in this that I might want to kind of connect with God. Well, God uses a lot of different things. I was thinking one good example in the Bible would be Jonah. Now, God got Jonah's attention back in the book of Jonah. Let me just read a verse here. It says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. See, God told Jonah what to do. You know, God's word told him what to do, but it didn't faze him. In fact, he did the opposite. God told him to go to Nineveh. He got on a boat and decided to go to Tarshish. He's going the wrong way. Well, he said, so what'd God do? Well, God's word didn't work with Jonah. Sometimes God's word doesn't work with you and me. We read it, and, you know, well, I think I'll do it. It's like Luby's cafeteria. I think I'll take that one. I don't want that. I believe I'll take that. Well, I don't want that. And we cop out. Well, that's God's plan A, but God has a plan B. For Jonah, the Bible said the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. That's plan B. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That's plan B. Now listen what these next three words say. Then Jonah prayed. You know, 3 days and three nights in a fish's belly, you'd want to pray. Amen? That'll get your attention. Well, let me tell you what, a lot of things happen in life. We're going along in life. It may be a good thing. Maybe. Now, God's sovereign. God doesn't cause everything. You can't blame everything on God. But my opinion, God allows everything. If God's sovereign, he's in control. So he allows whatever happens. And he allows it for a purpose. And that purpose is to chasten us, to get our attention, to discipline us. It's like enforced learning. And Jonah is a wonderful example, even though it is not joyful. Now, go back down in verse 11. Let's look at it again quickly. It says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. But let me just mention quickly three things. I'll not elaborate on them. That when you feel like God is, you know, maybe that word chastening is, you just don't like that word. But maybe just say, you know, God's trying to show me something. And his plan A, his word's doing it. But other times it's his plan B, these external things that God uses. And you say, you know, could this be? This has happened to, you know, cause me to rethink something, to show me something, to learn something. Well, one thing, when you know you're experiencing the chastening of the Lord, it is proof to yourself that you are a child of God. God chastens those whom he loves. God chastens his children. God doesn't chasten those that are not part of his family. And not only that, it reminds us that God loves us. That's what the Bible says. You know, the Lord, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. So if I feel like the word of God is chastening me, disciplining me, instructing me, convicting me, showing me something. It's just a reminder to me that I'm not only a child of God, but God loves me. And then also, I'm going to be better at the end of it. And that's what this verse 11 is talking about. Now, I know chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained. Now, you know, as I think about this whole thing here, it's a deep subject, and I realize that, but it's a real deal. It's in the Bible, and it's in life. You've read your Bible before and been shown or convicted or whatever words you want to use that verse, those verses are saying something to you about your life that needs to maybe go in a little different direction or whatever. Well, of course, you know, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. And sometimes we go through things to strengthen our faith. Hard things stretch us. And you know, it's like stretching anything. Like if you stretch a rubber band, you can turn it loose and it'll go back. But when you stretch something, it never goes back to what it originally was. So as God stretches us, we may not stay where God has stretched us, but we won't go back. Now, I look in Hebrews chapter 11, all these people, and what the writer is saying to these Hebrews that have turned from the Jewish belief system, Levitical priesthood, and they've placed their faith and trust in Christ. He said, now look, these witnesses, these examples that you know about, let them be your, or at least you know of them, whether you knew them personally or not, let them be your encourager. Now, two things I think that are pertinent for us. Number one, all of us have had people in our life whose faith has encouraged us. Could I have an amen to that? We really have. Now, you'd have to stop and think about that a moment, but I was thinking about that this morning earlier. Different people in my life, I would call them faith people. And their faith has encouraged me to keep on keeping on. I've watched people go through a lot of stuff. And you as well have watched people go through a lot of stuff. And some people, they're just strong people of faith. And their example motivates you and me to know if they can do it, we can do it. And the way they did it is God was their helper. And that is a glorious thing. So I want to encourage you to think of people that are your motivation, really. And I could list many. Now, let me just take time out a moment and say, I never change what I feel God put in my heart to preach because of who shows up. Does that make sense? I mean, if the town drunkard shows up on Sunday morning and I'm fixing to preach a sermon on not being the town drunkard, I'm not going to change my sermon because the town drunkard showed up. How you like that example? Yeah. Well, I'm not. And I want to tell you something. I've done that way my whole life. I don't do that. I don't preach at anybody. Like when I'm preaching, I'm not thinking now they'll be there today and I'm going to get them. That's not preaching. That's something. I don't know what that is, but I don't do that. I'm just going to preach what I'd plan to preach. Now, having said that, you say, well, why did you go into all that? Well, to get me where I'm going. I did not have a clue that Dottie was going to show up at this Tuesday Bible lunch today. In fact, she said this morning, I think I'm going Tuesday Bible lunch. And I said, look, we've got out-of-town company coming to go to doctor tomorrow. You probably don't really need to go down there today. And I tried to talk her out of going. The more I tried to talk her out of going, the more determined I saw she was coming. And so she shows up. But I'm going to do what I'd planned to do, even though she's shown up. I say that to you so you'll understand I'm not trying to make points with her. You get the message. Okay. I've watched a lot of preachers do that too. You know, they get up and talk about how wonderful their wife is. And going home, the wives are saying to their husband, you scoundrel, you never say anything nice about me. And, of course, those men are mad at the preacher. So you got to be careful about these kind of things. But when I think about people in my life, seriously, that have been and are my faith motivation, the top person in my life is Dottie. And I just say that from a sincere heart. And that's just who she is, who God's made her. And I've watched Dottie for these 53 years, and it'll soon be 54 years. I've watched her go through a lot of things, and I could talk about some of those. And her faith has just always been so strong. And every time I go to this chapter 12, verse 1, it said, "We are also surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, many of my people that would fall on that list are now in heaven. They're already gone to be with the Lord. And even though they're gone, their example's not gone. But I'm just simply saying, I'll encourage you. Here's where I'm going with this. Number one, it'd be a good thing for you to just think about people in your life that their faith has encouraged you to keep on keeping on in the race of life. And we all have a lot of those people. Number two, and I think this is something God help you and me, we would be a person that our faith would encourage other people in the race of life, no matter what comes their way, to keep on keeping on. And Father, that is my prayer today. This is a great little portion of Scripture, God, about the chastening of the Lord. It's one of your ways of disciplining us, instructing us, teaching us. It's like enforced learning. Sometimes, God, we're stubborn. We're just bullheaded. And we read in the Bible something, we know we're not doing that. And yet, we just move on and keep doing that. Well, you have plan B. And God, plan B can be a very painful thing. For Jonah, it was not good. And God, sometimes it's those kind of things that you allow to get our attention so that you can do in us and to us what we need for our good and for your glory. God, I thank you for faith people who have, through these many years, blessed my life in such a wonderful way. And all of us in this room have some of those. But God, I also pray today that each one of us in this room, God, this is one thing we can do. Without faith, the Bible tells us it's impossible to please God. But not only that, God, with our faith, we can motivate other people to keep on keeping on, whatever the race of life brings. Now, God bless us as we go from here today, and we'll be around a lot of different situations and people the rest of this week. And God, I pray that we would be a blessing to every person we have opportunity. Give us safety, give us protection. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.